Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll be picking up on page 28, The Wrong Purpose. That's the right place, but the wrong purpose. Today, we continue in our study, as I said, and a quick reminder, the phone lines are not open today. As we get underway, I'll remind you that this is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're answering the question in this particular chapter, what happens to a person when he responds to the good news of Jesus Christ through faith? So we've established that God's plan is by grace through faith in Jesus. Well, what happens to a person at that moment when this gospel message, when this grace does something in his heart to move them to believe in Jesus Christ? And we call that the crossover. Scripture calls that the crossover. Wonderful verse in John 5:24. Very truly, I tell you, these are Jesus's word. Whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So if you've come to Christ by faith, you have crossed over from death to life. And I know early in my Christian experience, after I graduated from college, I was working in a hospital and had the opportunity to talk to an elderly gentleman named Jim about the good news of Jesus Christ. In his life, he knew that God existed, but it wasn't relevant to him. It wasn't relevant information. But now, in a hospital bed, thinking about his mortality, what's going to happen, he was very interested. And I had the opportunity to read some Bible passages to him, and you could just see a miracle take place. I mean, it was one of the most moving experiences I've ever had in life and really changed the trajectory of my life. And so I led him through different passages of Scripture, and I said, Jim, do you want to receive Jesus? And he said, yes, I do. And I could have left the room. I mean, he was so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and this just beautiful, simple expression of faith that he prayed. And, you know, when he opened his eyes, he was a new man. Yeah. He had crossed over from death to life. And it was kind of interesting. Every person that walked into that room heard Jim's story. You know, I've learned about Jesus. I've received Jesus. And when I get out of this hospital room, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, he never made it out of the hospital.
But I bet it was shouting, heaven. Yeah,
he was shouting in heaven. But he was also shouting it in that hospital room from his from his bedside. And as I said, that's what changed my whole view on life. I really sensed a purpose from that moment forward. And I said, God, whatever you do and whatever doors you open, I want to be able to walk through and be a part of this great rescue mission that you have going on in this world so that I can see others cross over from death to life. So if there's one passion in my heart that trumps every other, it's this message, the fact that in Christ we go from death to life. It's the thing that changed my whole life when I came to grips with this truth. I saw it in Jim, and it's the most wonderful thing to see it when others go from death to life.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we're talking about. And last week, we looked at a couple of aspects. So when we were lost, we were in the wrong place. And so going from death to life means we've crossed over from darkness into light. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they went away from the light and were banished into darkness. And through faith in Christ, we're brought out of darkness into that marvelous light. We were also associated with the wrong person. I mean, God created us to walk in dependence upon him. Well, when Adam and Eve declared their independence from God, in essence what they did was to declare their dependence upon the prince of the power of this world, Satan himself. And so it wasn't really a declaration of independence. It was a move from freedom into bondage, or freedom into slavery. So we were associated with the wrong purpose, and now through faith in Jesus Christ, we get identified with Jesus. So that bond that we had with the prince of the power of this world, the prince of darkness, the power of darkness, that's been severed, and now we're associated with Christ. We have been joined to another, as Scripture says. So crossing over from death to life is a crossover from bondage into freedom. So we've gone from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom. And today we're going to pick up on page 28 and talk about purpose, the fact that we have a new purpose. I know when I was in college and struggling with trying to make sense of the Christian life, I didn't know how it was supposed to work. I was applying human effort as to the best of my ability, falling flat on my face. And in those days of frustration, this sense of futility just covered over me. And the words of Ecclesiastes started really making sense to me. Life is meaningless. It is absolutely meaningless. In those days, I wanted to be a physician. I was on that path of pre-med in college. I wanted to go to medical school. And by my junior year, that dream just kind of vanished. It's like meaningless. I mean, who cares? And that's was my approach to life. And when I came to know Jesus fully and experienced his saving life and had this opportunity to see Jim cross over from death to life, I got a sense of purpose back. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I can sink my teeth into that. That's something to live for. That's something to dive in with both feet. And so that's what's happened. And we want to talk about that sense of purpose. So when we talk about purpose, we're really asking that question, why am I here? And it's one of those big three questions that we ask ourselves. Who am I? Where am I going? Why am I here? It's a question of purpose. And in the realm of darkness, purpose is where we miss the mark. We don't live out God's desires for us. Instead, we live for ourselves. So we want to ask some questions about that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, and here's what that particular passage says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So in this particular passage, what does Paul say we once lived to gratify? What was our purpose in life? It was to gratify the desires of the flesh. Yeah. That's what we live for. That's why we were selfish. That's why we didn't really care what happened to others as long as our desires were being gratified. That's the way of the world. We see that out there every single day. And it's disgusting to look at, but it's even more disgusting to realize that that's what you were a part of, that that's how you once lived. So as far as the question of purpose, we totally missed the mark.
Yeah.
Now, when it says that we live to gratify the desires of the flesh, do you believe this is God's purpose for your life? Does this sound like God's purpose for your life?
No, it doesn't.
Absolutely not. It totally misses the mark. Well, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote that everything is meaningless. So we're asking the question, and I want you to think about this today. After you listen to this broadcast, spend a little time thinking about this question. Has there been a time in your life that you felt this way, that everything in life was meaningless? And if so, go back to that and describe what you were actually experiencing. And I think you will learn a lot about the power of the gospel and what exactly the gospel did in your life. Now, Richard and Bob, were there times in your life where you felt that life was meaningless, that that everything was futile? And what were you experiencing at that time?
I'll let Bob say. Well, what I was experiencing was my utter, I guess my inability to really make life work. That's what I was experiencing. My business was failing. The family life was not what it should have been. And I was sick and tired of being me. I was sick and tired of every effort that I made just falling flat. And so I knew that I needed something. And I knew who that someone was. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to take my life and do something with it, anything that I didn't want it anymore.
Yeah, and at that point, it is anything.
Yeah.
You know, anything is better than what I have.
Right, exactly.
And if you just feel that sense of emptiness and meaningless in your heart, in the depths of who you are, anything is better than that. That's why a lot of people get duped and deceived and follow after other things in the world. You know, this didn't work out, so I'm going to try this. They just go from one thing to another, but still at the end they feel that sense of meaningless even more profoundly. And that's why Christ is the only answer, and that's why we need to cross over from death to life so we can actually have some purpose in our lives. Now in Philippians 2:13 we see a verse that talks about purpose, and Paul wrote this: "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose."
Yes.
Before we were saved, Christ didn't live in us. We were doing this thing on our own. We were leaning on our own understanding. We were depending on everything and anything but God. But now that we're in Christ, Christ has come to live inside of us, and he is at work in us to do and to will of his good pleasure. That's good news, isn't it?
Absolutely. Terrific news.
And that's when life starts having some substance to it. You know, I love what Paul said in the book of Colossians. He said, don't fall prey to empty and hollow philosophies. Back in 1 Peter, it talks about the empty way of life that's been handed down to you by your parents. And that really, I think, is one of the best descriptions of the world system that there is. It is empty and hollow. It is an empty way of life. It's just a deflated balloon. There's absolutely nothing there. And finally, when we come to Christ, we get purpose being blown into us through the work of God's Spirit. And he works in and through us to do and to will of his good pleasure, of his good purpose. So when we talk about purpose, what in the world does that word mean, Richard?
Well, it's an easy definition, but it's not a simple definition because it has nothing to do with me. Everything about purpose, whether it applies to me or is talked about in some other context, is done in the context of God. It is God who has a purpose. One of the things we say here a lot is that God takes the initiative. And we see that all through the New Testament. We even see it in the Old, but in the New Testament, especially when Paul is talking about all things working together for those who are called according to his purpose. It's not that I did something in order to have God say, oh, yeah, my purpose now is to help you. His purpose was to help me, to save me, to bring me to life, and then show me how things were going to work out. And so it was his initiative. Here in Philippians, we're seeing initiative again because it's what gives God pleasure is to work through us, you know, to help us to will and to act the things that he wants to accomplish through us. And then there's another aspect to this of where being of the same purpose is to become in agreement with God. So as an individual, if I want to know what my purpose is, it's to discover God's thinking and goals regarding me, his initiative toward me, and to align myself with his initiative toward me. And then if we're talking as a group where we're all of one mind, it's not like we get together in a committee and say, what should we vote on? It's that we get together as individuals who have already aligned ourselves with God's purpose, that is his salvation initiative towards us, and we then align our own minds corporately along those same purposes. And then what we see in both cases, I as an individual can now do things because God is doing them through me, and then as a group, as a collection of the body of Christ of whatever size, we can do the work of God because God is working through us. So purpose has to do entirely with God's initiative and what he accomplished for us and in us and then through us. And our purpose is not to sit around staring at the moon going, what should I be? It's to look at Jesus Christ and say, I just want what you want. And align my thinking with yours, Lord, so that I can be who you called me to be.
Yeah. And we can't do that apart from God's Spirit.
Absolutely.
Renewing our mind, renewing our thinking. And so that is something that's a process,
yes.
Right? It's not something that we're just saved and automatically everything about us is in line with everything about God. Mm-hmm. We still have some rotten thinking, stinking thinking that needs to be cleaned up.
Yes.
But that's the work of God's Spirit. We'll talk more about that in just a second.
Yeah, friends, you're listening and perhaps even viewing the Friday teaching series with Basic Gospel for the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. It's available with each week's study notes at basicgospel.net/teaching. Of course, that's our main website, basicgospel.net, followed by a slash and the word teaching. And we also have a gift for you, a very special gift, when you sign up for ministry emails. It's our ebook called Forgiveness, the Door to Life, a powerful resource to set you on the path of joy and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your free copy today by clicking subscribe at basicgospel.net. Well, I'm Bob Davis. I'm here with these two excellent Bible teachers, Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. And Bob, it's a great study, so let's get right back to it.
Well, let's do. So we're talking about purpose. When we were lost, we were living out the wrong purpose.
Yeah.
Now that we're saved in Christ, we have been brought into the right purpose, and that's a process that we will be involved in, learning exactly what that purpose is. I was thinking as you were talking there, Richard, that so many people are so frightened to fully trust Jesus.
Yeah.
And part of their fear is that what if God rips them out of their nice cushy life and sends them to some remote corner of the world where they have to live in misery and suffer and to, you know, carry this heavy burden of trying to minister to those in those remote areas. And so they're fearful. They think, gosh, that would just be horrific. That would be horrible. Well, God isn't like that. He's going to work in and through us so to will and to do of his good pleasure. So in other words, his work in us is going to bring our minds and our hearts to that point of saying, of everything out there in the world, what God is doing through me is the most pleasurable.
Yes.
When I was lost, I lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. I thought that was going to be the most pleasurable thing in life. And I know when we're down and out, when we're feeling a little blue, when we're having those great self-pity parties that we like to throw for ourselves on occasion, we think, if I could just have a little bit of pleasure. And that's when we become most vulnerable to the things of the world, most vulnerable to temptation. And normally we give in. What are we doing that for? So we can have a little pleasure, a little gratification, and we find out once again that that's just empty, that's hollow. It doesn't satisfy. As a matter of fact, it just does the complete opposite. And so as we come to Christ and we realize that his purposes are going to be absolutely best for our lives, we get a chance to see that in reality and actually come to that point where we say, this is the most pleasurable thing that I've ever experienced in life, having God to work in and through me to will of his good pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's why we can do what the previous verse calls us to do. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, a lot of folks say, hey, that's a passage that teaches you can lose salvation. And that's not what it's saying at all, because it's attached to the next verse.
Uh-huh.
It is God who is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So in humility, we work out what God is working in. And when we work it out, we find that his will, his purpose for our lives is the most pleasurable thing we could ever engage in. Like sharing Christ with Jim in that hospital room.
Yeah.
I've never experienced anything as electrifying, as rewarding as that was. And I've done a lot of things in the world and have had a lot of opportunities. But watching and participating and being a part of God moving somebody from death to life has been the most rewarding and gratifying I have ever experienced. So much so, I say, I want more of that, Lord. Yeah. Use me however you can so that I can watch others go from death to life. And I think, you know, there's lots of commands or things that we see in the Word of God. One, don't be unequally yoked. We have a lot of people that are saying, but God, you just don't understand. I mean, how this person makes me feel. Yeah. I know they're not believers. I know you say that that's not right for me. But right now, based on my feelings, I don't get that. I don't understand it. But but if you have the guts and the courage to say, I'm going to live out what God is working in, and I'm going to move away from this, and then you meet somebody else and you say, wow, God, you did know best.
Yeah.
That following your ways are the actual best ways for me. I love what Paul wrote in Romans 12. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to prove and accept God's will.
Yes.
You will find that it is actually good and pleasing and beneficial to you. And I think that's what God wants us to know. So when we go from death to life, we actually are finding the right purpose for us.
Well, we actually have a purpose.
Yes,
a
indeed.
Usable purpose.
Absolutely. And one last passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And the question that goes along with this is, how does Peter say we're to live our lives in this passage? And so let me read the passage. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires. So when we were lost, what did we live our lives for? What was our purpose? To fulfill evil human desires. That's what we live for. Now we live for the will of God, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. That's how we lived.
Yeah.
we did what pagans choose to do. We lived in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. That's how we lived. That's not a very good description of life. That's not stuff you want to put on a resume. But now we live for the will of God. And I love how he says it. You have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. And I think all of us could agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the age you came to Christ, there's a lot of teenagers that come to Christ. Even they can say, in that short time as a lost person, I'd lived lost long enough. Others come to Christ in their 30s, in their 60s, in their 70s, and they can say, I've lived long enough choosing to do what pagans once did. Now I want to let my life be set apart to carry out the will of God in my everyday existence.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to cross over from death to life? It means that we cross over to a brand new purpose in life. That's good news, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
And that's what happens to us when we're saved. And as you were talking about, Richard, and I think this is such an important point to really hammer home. And if you're listening today, if there's one thing that you should take away from this lesson, it's this. God is the initiator. You are the responder. He initiated this salvation to you. And as you responded by faith, this crossover took place. You crossed over from death to life. Now that you're saved, God continues to initiate to you. It is God who is at work in and through you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Rest in him, abide in him. You will find out that his purposes for your life are the most rewarding, the most satisfying, and the most beneficial to you.
Yes.
And to everyone around. That's good news.
That is wonderful news and great study, guys. Thank you for sharing this truth from the Word of God. Friends, we're glad that you've joined with us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book and study guide, along with the weekly study notes, are available at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel needs your help to keep the good news on the air. We ask you to join with us today by clicking donate on our website at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, again, thanks for being with us for the study edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, Bob Davisine, God bless you. Have a great weekend, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday for a live edition of Basic Gospel.